8:55 Eastern Daylight Time. And Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
On the fourth day of the invasion of the Low Countries, the Germans are ahead of schedule, according to statements in Berlin. But as in Norway and Poland, their advances have been made by fast armored divisions, and the mass of troops has not yet caught up with them. Accordingly, there is a different front on almost every road. One of these armored columns seems to have struck into Liège from the northwest, and according to the German statement, holds the city, though it is admitted that the forts east of it are not yet taken. Another armored force, probably striking up from the southeast, established contact with German parachute troops near the strategic Moerdijk Bridge south of Rotterdam, where communication between Belgium and the heart of Holland has been cut. But farther east, Dutch troops are still fighting along the IJssel and Maas rivers, though the German infantry may be able to pour through the breaks in their lines made by the armored divisions. Amsterdam again spent a busy day cleaning out German troops, parachute troops, and German agents, and in Rotterdam, the Germans were again, after early advances, driven back to the south side of the river. This armored column which has crossed the Moerdijk Bridge, however, may be able now to reinforce the German troops in Rotterdam. The entire Dutch royal family went over to England today, accompanied by the chief members of the cabinet, and a broadcast tonight by the British Broadcasting Corporation says that this was due to a deliberate German attempt to capture Queen Wilhelmina. They tried to do that by a parachute attack on Friday, which failed, but there were further attempts to capture the Queen, and she was well aware of the political complications that might arise if she were taken prisoner. General Winckelmann, commanding the Dutch army, is apparently left in charge in the Netherlands. The German advance in northern Belgium is also chiefly the work of three armored divisions that turned the flank of the main Belgian defenses after the still unexplained capture of Fort Eben-Emael on Saturday. French tanks fought a furious battle against German tanks at Saint-Tron, 15 miles northwest of Liège, and British tanks were in action farther west. But on each side, the main forces have not yet come up. In the extreme southeastern part of Belgium, severe German attacks drove back the advanced French forces beyond the frontier and in some cases beyond the Meuse River. But the French say that heavy German pressure against the French towns of Longwy and Montmédy was withstood. This brings the German attack close to the valuable Briey iron fields. And the air war went on today all over the Low Countries with great damage done to many towns, especially in Belgium. Our correspondent Edwin Hartrich reports from Amsterdam that German mass bombing flights over the Netherlands have been pretty well broken up by Dutch fighter planes acting on radio orders like cruising police cars, but small groups of bombers are still active, and powerful units of the British fleet are in action off the Dutch coast. Reports from Stockholm say the Germans are still pushing on in Norway. Troops were landed today at Bodø, about 100 miles south of Narvik, apparently from ships that managed to reach that point by keeping close along shore. There is increasing alarm in Sweden over the concentration of German troops just over the Norwegian border and mysterious movements of large German ships just outside of Swedish territorial waters. In Italy, the anti-British campaign goes on to such an extent that reports from Rome say that British subjects have been advised by their consuls to leave the country. Despite increasing threats of the fascist press, however, that Italy will soon take action, neutral observers are far from convinced. Meanwhile, it is pointed out that the threatening Italian attitude immobilizes a considerable part of the French army and air force on the Italian frontier, besides the Allied fleets in the Mediterranean, so that Mussolini is already rendering considerable strategic service to Hitler. Winston Churchill made his first speech to Parliament as Prime Minister today, and his new government got a unanimous vote of confidence in both houses. Churchill said that the British people had before them many long months of struggle and suffering. "I have nothing to offer you," he said, "but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. Our aim is victory, however long and hard the road may be, for without victory there is no survival," end quote. Evidently, the British have taken to heart the German statements that this war that began last Friday is a world revolution. And in Washington, there was fresh agitation as to the condition of American defenses. President Roosevelt will send a special message to Congress this week asking for more defense appropriations, which, according to Washington reports tonight, will be largely devoted to anti-aircraft and anti-tank guns, and it is proposed already to raise the debt limit.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.